Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, using only one water bottle, repairing that rip in your jeans, or cutting open your toothpaste to scrape out the very last bit. It's been a really popular trend on TikTok since the summer, aiming to encourage people to consider just how much they consume. But how successful is so-called under-consumption core? Well, to talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by broadcaster and sustainability influencer Fionnuala Moran and Solène Scheer, who is lead on the Fabric of Change project with Voice Ireland. And it's lovely to have you with us on the programme. Fionnuala, I think when we think about social media, we think about the opposite of under-consumption. We think about people selling us things. You know, we've influencers who are opening these wonderful new beauty products or showing off their fast fashion shopping haul. So take us through what's changed then, particularly since the summer.
Yeah, so I think this is a good and natural reaction to hyper-consumption and how inundated we've been with this. It's kind of really insidious now. I think Jason Hickel is likened the advertising and social media era to psychological warfare, and he's called it the fracking of our minds, because basically it's so inescapable. And we've gone from keeping up with the Joneses to keeping up with the Kardashians. I know Oliver Callum was talking about cosplaying earlier. A lot of us, when we present online, we're actually copying the influencers, whether we know it or not. Like, we're a generation fluent in fit checks now, being like, oh, it's this brand, it's that brand, whatever else. So this is the reaction to that, being like, okay, no, I actually am at a financial detriment trying to keep up with all of these new trends coming out all the time, all of these new products being pushed upon us all the time. And it's saying, this is normal life. Like, when you step away from, be it the wealth pouring online or the influencers who are being paid to show us all of these new things, it's, what is my actual life like? What do I actually need? It's not the 20 Stanley cups in every different colour and whatever else you're needing. It's just stepping back to normal life. So there'll be people listening, eye rolling, being like, I've been living like that the whole time. And that's fantastic. But there's so many people who live in a really online space now who consider this really normal and then consume to copy that behaviour.
So what's been happening online then? How would you describe this trend?
I'd call it refreshing. Other people might call it, I don't know, other less positive words. But it's just basically people showcasing their day-to-day lives. They're showing, this is how I go to work in an under-consumption manner, like, be that getting on public transport, be that bringing a little reusable jar that they pop their breakfast into, as opposed to buying like really fancy new aesthetically pleasing lunchboxes and whatever else. It's people showing off houses that don't look like show homes, like really cluttered places where they're doing their laundry, as opposed to these really aesthetically beautiful things we've come to assume are normal. So it's showcasing all of that online and just letting people take a big breath and go, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not behind. Like, this is fine. The way I'm living is normal. We don't need to kind of lean into all of these non-stop new trends.
And Solène, do you think that this is cutting through?
I think this trend is really interesting, and I think your analysis is spot on here. But what I think is really good about it is also that it's showing that youth face, because a lot of the trends and sustainability is always about also sometimes the perfect product, the perfect sustainable product, the perfect capsule wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And it's all like a lot to go through, where here it's just whatever you have, just use it. So it doesn't have to be perfect in the first place. It's just reminding us that the first and most important step in sustainability is to actually use mm-hmm. what we have till it's done, you know?
But I'm really interested to know, you know, if it is getting through to people, because on the one side you have industry and you have influencers selling, and that's huge. And then on the other side you have people who aren't probably making money, at least I don't think they are making money, about telling us how they're under consuming. I mean, given that they're facing the power of all the people selling, is it getting through, do you think, to consumers?
I think it's a bit more relative in that space, because it's always hard to tell, like, if people are really like getting like de-influenced or things like that, because the influence is so big and the overconsumption is such the norm online, especially. So I think it's not about making money for these people. It's just showing and reminding people that, you know, normal people are online as well, and they're here also just to discuss and have fun and not just consume. So because social media is kind of becoming those kind of a storefront almost for everything, then it's kind of taking back that space and being like, okay, we're also here to just be online and connect with people and not necessarily consume. So that's also where it's maybe getting through to kind of take you outside of that bubble that you might be, you know.
It's relieving the pressure on people because I think people can sometimes feel Fionnuala, can't they, when they're scrolling through social media, that I must have, I should have, I'm not enough if I don't have.
100%. And I think there's a media literacy piece that we can take a little bit of ownership here for if we are feeling that massive pressure to keep up with all of these trends, is that I quit fast fashion as any kind of new fashion as my 2019 New Year's resolution. And at the time, I started that with a buying ban, but I also curated my social media feed. So I started unfollowing lots of different accounts that were being like, buy, 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 like trying to rinse me of all of my money and my worldly possessions to keep up with whatever they were being paid to promote. So if we can curate our feeds to maybe make them a little bit more inspiring, a little bit more creative, lean into hobbies and interests that we have, as opposed to kind of this default of hyper consumerism, essentially, that the platform really suits. Like Instagram and the algorithms, they love new. It kind of celebrates and showcases shopping addictions as a really handy way because the newness just really suits the content. So stepping back and curating our feeds is a great way to do that. It's like when we opened up magazines years ago, which were promoting a lot of the same new products, there wasn't the same drive or influence within us to be like, oh my God, I need to buy every single new thing on these fashion pages. You kind of looked at it and go, oh, I like that, I don't like that. Whereas with the parasocial relationship of influencers, there is that kind of additional and aspirational thing of being like, oh, I love them, I need to have everything that they have. It just taps into us that little bit deeper on a psychological level that we do feel the need to spend with them. But I think there's lots of different ways we can step back from it a little bit.
Like, it is so powerful though, influence online, that I still come back to how much of an influence will this trend have and will it last? You know, what are you seeing online? What's it telling you?
Yeah, like I would love that it would cut through. As you say, it cannot compete with the massive revenues that there are, but because there are no gatekeepers essentially to online content, like what blows up on TikTok is totally based on what users want to interact with. And we are seeing more and more of these things cutting through, whereas people are getting a little bit jaded by the noise now of products. We saw de-influencing recently popping off as well. These never quite get as big as the mainstream because we are so trained over years and years of marketing and everything else to consume. We've become more consumers than citizens. And within the climate space, there's a big kind of shift back to us becoming citizens as opposed to consumers. And we tend to operate primarily as consumers first and citizens second now, if citizens at all. So I would love to see a pop off, but it won't compete with the revenues. And that's not to say that influencing can't be a positive thing as well. Like, I follow lots of influencers that I love. I work in that space and love working in that space as well, but it's in a very different way. So I think it's just making sure that the people you follow, that it's not kind of this thing where they are just trying to milk you for as much money as possible, that you are getting benefit from what you're consuming content wise as well.
Are we pushing, Solène, the responsibility back on individuals again though? You know, we're saying to them, don't look at this, look at that. Do you see what I mean? And you know, we do hear that really it's not the individual's fault in many cases. We can do what we can, but we're pushing back against a huge machine.
Absolutely. And I think this is kind of the limits of any sort of trends like this, is that they always go back to the individual responsibility and the consumer and how to use your or not use your wallet and things like that. And even though I do think there is power there, I've never seen a trend that is just celebrating, you know, being part of a collective or being a citizen active in the space. And it's kind of, you know, it's this individualism that is pushed to a really high standard. And I think in sustainability, there's a lot that can be done in your community. And remind yourself as well that outside of the online world, that you're also a citizen, you're also, you know, a working professional, and you can actually do stuff in your sector as well. And I think that's where it falls short all the time, is that it's always about the individual.
And I know you would want to see people, when it comes to fashion, embracing sustainable fashion. Yeah. How do people begin to do that in the face of all of this lovely newness?
Yeah, I think, well, the first thing is to look. I think that's why this trend is good again, is that it's about what you already have. And what we're trying to do in Fabric of Change is to really kind of show that there's so many other narratives and so many other ways of doing fashion. Because what I really get bugged about is when online you see people comment on influencer like, what's the ref? or of like a boots or something. And I'm like, if you like the boots, why would you want exactly that one? Doesn't that just mean that you like the style and then you want to curate it for yourself and you want to have fun with it? Whereas here is just like, I want that item and I'm just going to buy it and wear it twice and that's it.
Whereas you might be able to, are you saying, recreate that look with what you have already?
Absolutely. And even like just learning about what you like and curating your style, and you know that takes time, and so it's not just an instant click and buy. It's just like having fun with what you have, but also whenever you go shopping, not shop because you've seen it somewhere, just because you know that it feels good for you, that it fits properly. And that's kind of rediscovering fashion in a way, because for me now fashion is kind of outside of the realm of just having fun with clothes, textiles, colors. It's just becoming consumption. And so I want to bring back like the joy of it, the you know, the connection and everything.
Creativity around
absolutely,
it.
Yes.
There's an interesting generational issue at play here as well, Fionnuala, isn't there? Because the generation of people in their 40s, 50s, maybe 60s didn't have access to stuff, not as much stuff as we do now. Do you find, or is it known, that they're actually the culprits when it comes to overconsumption, more so than younger generations?
I've certainly been wowed more by the impact of like the swipe up to buy for specific influencers targeting that audience, that they will buy anything that is promoted. And I've just been like, whoa, that's a level of influence that is profound. It's very intense. For me, I was doing talks in Trinity with people who would have been in their late teens, early 20s earlier this year. And I was talking about secondhand fashion. I could see the points weren't landing in the way they tended to normally. And I was like, only afterwards the penny dropped. I was like, this is amazing. They don't need this conversation, because it is so normal now for them to shop secondhand, to be reselling their wardrobe, to kind of be leaning into that circularity already.
They get it.
They totally get it. It's become mainstream. It's become normalised in a way that it wasn't for my generation. I'm in my early 30s now. So for my generation, we would have come up at the same time when social media was emerging and fast fashion was emerging. And that was just this perfect little storm where we're like, we can swipe up to buy everything. It became, inverted commas, used in the most massive sense here, embarrassing to rewear things for photos, be it in videos, whatever else. Now, I know people who work in the space who've been called brave for rewearing their own clothes. Like, if that isn't the level of ridiculous consumption that we need to peel ourselves back from, I don't know what is. But I do find the kind of mainstreaming of this is going to be a really positive thing. I know it was George Monbiot on this very show was talking about how we're not really looking to governments with COP29 and that thing to push change for us. It's going to be people-powered movements.
What we do.
This is a small part of that, and it is only a small part, but where we start with our consumption, it is a powerful thing. And for me personally, I found it to be a big catalyst to the rest of my climate action journey. So it might seem like a tiny little thing to start, say, think secondhand first if I want to add something to my wardrobe. But those things do add up.
Listen, it's been great to talk to you both. Thank you for coming in, Fionnuala Moran and Solène Scher. And the trend is called Under Consumption Core. If you want to go and look it up, find out more about it. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.